to another couple of passages. Our God has been pleased to have Matthew, Mark, and Luke make a record of this healing of a leper. Our Lord Jesus, the mighty God, never met a disease he couldn't conquer. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke record this incident of the healing of the leper. I don't know that it's real significant that it's mentioned three times in the scripture. For God to say something once, well, that's the way it is. For God to say something two times, I don't know, maybe we should listen twice as close to it. But if he says something again, there's something in this that we need to study, to look at, because it's more to it than just a historical record of a man who was a leper who was being healed. It's I think it teaches us the way we need to come to the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to show you, Matthew mentions this, and then we're going to go to Luke, and then we'll go back to the book of Mark, and we'll go to Mark. Let me read each of these gospel narrative of this incident. First of all, Matthew 8. Ron just read this to us, but I'll read it again. Verse 1 of chapter 8, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Of course, this is his famous sermon on the mount. And it was this was an unusual message, because our Lord Jesus, he kind of turned everything upside down for them. And he said to seek the kingdom of God. He said, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that must have just unnerved them, because to most of those folks he was preaching to, the scribes and the Pharisees, why, they were the most righteous people, the most holy people in all the world. And then he gives that out, and it just must have shocked them. In fact, the latter part of chapter 7, it says the people were astonished at his doctrine. They just never heard anything like this before. Well, immediately after that, as he came down from the mountain from preaching this great message, multitudes, they followed him. The second verse says, and behold, you'll notice that both Matthew and Luke will use the word behold. Mark doesn't, but they use the word behold. This is an amazing thing, that this leper would dare to be seen in public, much less even have a conversation with anybody, because their breath was even considered to be a way of contagion or contacting the disease. And so it says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, this wasn't a lengthy process, but immediately his leprosy was cleansed. It didn't happen in stages, in other words. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, and you show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, if you would go to the book of Luke in chapter 5, let's see how Luke deals with this. Luke chapter 5, and we'll pick up our reading at verse number 12. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. It came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Savior put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. And then, if you would, go to Mark. Now, let's see how Mark deals with this. And we'll go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And we'll go to verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Verse 39, it says, he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, Mark added that. Matthew didn't say that, and Luke didn't say that, but Mark does. He says, our Lord moved with compassion. He put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. He straightway charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Our Lord Jesus very mercifully healed this leper. But there's more to this, as I've already indicated, than just three portions of information about this healing. This is about a man who shows us the right way to come to the Lord Jesus. All of us have the leprosy of sinfulness. There's no question about that. You see, what leprosy back then was to the body, so our own sinfulness is to our souls. Now, it is said, if you do a little research, that Israel had a real issue with leprosy. And most of the writers say that they picked this up in Egypt. This was in an Egyptian disease that during the years, 400 years of their bondage in Egypt, they picked up this virus or this disease, and then they carried it with them. And as you go through the Old Testament, you know this was always a problem area for the Israelites. But this is more than just the healing of a man. Our Lord healed many people. In fact, in this very portion of Scripture, in the portion of Scripture Ron read to us there in Matthew chapter 8, he healed several people. But there's more, as I say, to this. This is about the right way for needy people to come to the Lord of glory. And it makes no difference who you are here tonight or what your neediness is. You can learn the right way to come to the Savior by studying this man. He's full of information for us because you can see in his own attitude the attitude that you need to have if you come to the Lord Jesus. Now, we have many issues. All of us do. Our number one issue is the issue of our sinfulness. How do I, as a sinful man, come to the Lord of glory for salvation? Well, I come as this man comes. If you're weary of your sinfulness, it's like this man, he's weary of being a leper. You know, he couldn't, we don't know how long he's been a leper, but ever since he was diagnosed with leprosy, there couldn't be anybody who touched him. If he was married, his wife couldn't touch him. If he had been a leper since he was a little boy, his mom and dad couldn't touch him. Nobody could come in contact with this man. He was ostracized. He's cut off from the household of Israel. He couldn't go to the synagogue. He couldn't go to the temple. He couldn't go to the market. He couldn't go to all the festivals that Israel had. He couldn't do that, and nobody could ever embrace him. Nobody could touch him. Nobody could even shake hands with him. Nobody could come up to him and give him a nice warm embrace and say, "How you doing today, brother?" They couldn't do that. Because this is a man who had leprosy. And if anybody did come toward him, he had to put a rag over his mouth and say, "Unclean, unclean, don't come near me." And he goes up to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus not only carried on a brief conversation with him, but the Lord Jesus touched him. What must that have been like for that man? He had not felt a human touch in no telling how many years. But the Lord could not be infected by this man's disease. Why, he's God. He's God incarnate. Just like he could not be infected with our sinfulness. Not during his life and not during his death. He cannot be, he could not then, and he cannot now be infected with our own guilt, with our iniquities. And here's this man who is a leper. He comes to him in his hour of need. If you're a lost person, I have no idea the condition of your soul before God. I know most of you have made professions of faith, I suppose, and you know the Lord Jesus, but I never take anything for granted. I don't take my salvation for granted, and if I was you, you shouldn't take your salvation for granted either. Well, you say, okay, I'm lost, I need the Lord. How should I come to the Lord Jesus? Because we must come to him. The Savior said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." He said, "I'll give you rest. You come to me. Don't come to the church. It's not coming down to the altar. We don't have an altar here. It's not coming to the baptistry. Christ said, "Come to me." If any man thirst, he said, "Let him come unto me." Let him come to me. Well, how should I come to him if I want mercy, if I want grace, if I want forgiveness, if I want righteousness, if I want to know God, if I want everlasting life? How should I come to the Lord Jesus? Just like this man came. You come in humility. He bowed before him. He's not bargaining. It wasn't "let's make a deal" time. He didn't say, "Now if you'll heal me of my disease, I'll do this and that and something else for you." No. No, he's a poor leper. He's got no bargaining chips, just like you don't either. He was solely at the mercy of the sovereign Christ. And he had a comprehension of that. And you need to understand, if you want mercy of God, if you want salvation, you've got to come before the Lord Jesus Christ like this man came to the Savior, beseeching Him and kneeling down and saying, if you will, don't start arguing about whose will reigns in salvation. Anybody who knows anything about the Bible knows it's God's will. You just come very humbly, like this man did. If you will, if you will. This is the Lord we're talking about. This is the one who made heaven and earth. You need His salvation? Yes, you do. Do you need righteousness? Yes, you do. Do you need His grace? Yes, you do. Well, the right way to receive everything you need in this wonderful salvation is to come in humility. You've got to prostrate yourself before the King. He owes you nothing. And what you need is His to give or not. That's the reason this man came and he said, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this, if you will, if you will. Maybe there's one of the Lord's children here this evening and you got a heavy heart. Maybe you're afflicted, you're troubled. You need comfort. You need grace. You need encouragement. You need help. How should you come to the Lord? Same way this man came. Always approach with a respectful attitude. You don't come with arrogance to God. If you approach Him with a disrespectful attitude, you'll get nothing. How should I come to Him? Come and worship. You fall down before Him in your heart. You pour out your heart to Him in openness and honesty. Listen, He's your heavenly Father. Ain't nothing you can't say to Him. Because He already knows you. You're not informing Him of anything. I had a man tell me one time, I'm embarrassed to be honest with God. I said, why would you be embarrassed? He already knows. It's not like, you know, He's not going to know unless you tell Him. Confession is beneficial to you. But God already knows. Got to approach Him as one who's the Lord. It says casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. And then there are some of the Lord's people who are sick, who are diseased. There are some here, you've had sickness. There's some watching, sick, and can't even come to church anymore. And you desire healing. It's not a sinful thing to ask the Lord, would you be pleased to heal me of my malady, my sickness? Listen, I know there are a lot of religious crooks out here who have their healing services. But don't let them rob you of this wonderful, wonderful truth that our God is the great physician. Don't let them rob you of that. And maybe the Lord will heal you, or maybe he won't heal you. I don't know. He doesn't heal everybody. If he healed everybody, nobody would die. But don't let them rob you of this glorious truth. He is the Lord who healeth thee. He healed you of your biggest malady, which is the disease of spiritual leprosy. It's like when Israel had left the promised land, they'd gone across the Red Sea, and then they're going out and they get to the bitter waters of Marah. And they couldn't drink the water. They're so excited. Here's a body of water. And then they start to drink it and they spit it out. This is terrible. They said, Moses, what are we going to do? And Moses said, Lord, we need drinking water. All the children, all the adults, all of our animals. Lord, we need water to drink. And the Lord said, you see that tree over there? Cut it down, throw it in the water. He did. And the waters were sweetened. That's a picture of the cross of our Lord Jesus. That's a picture of the truth of substitution. I'll tell you one thing that will comfort you if in your sickness, in your times of weakness, is focus in on the cross of Calvary. That is the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. And that'll sweeten your infirmity. That'll sweeten it. But he tossed that tree in and the waters became drinkable. And the Lord said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. I'm Jehovah Rapha. That's what he said. I'm Jehovah Rapha. And literally he was saying to them, I'm your doctor. I'm your doctor. And I know God still heals. Doesn't he still heal? Well, sure he does. He uses doctors. He uses nurses. He uses medical technicians. He uses medicines. And you know what? Sometimes he doesn't use any means at all. He's the Lord who healeth thee. If I had a serious illness, I wouldn't say, what would you call all the churches in the city? Because I want everybody to be praying for me. Surely you wouldn't do that. No. That's a waste of time. That's a waste of time. If you get sick, Scripture says you call the elders of the church. I'd call the elders. I'd call a few of my preacher brethren. Ask them to pray about the situation. Pray for me or my daughter or son or my wife or whoever it was. And I just cast this thing upon God. Maybe he'll heal. Maybe he won't. I don't know. But he is the Lord who heals his people. And there's a sweetness in his healing. Well, how should I go to him if I need healing? Talking to somebody who's watching, who's sick, you got a disease, whatever it is. Well, you go in humility like this man did. Say, Lord, if you will, Lord, it may not be your will to heal me, and that's okay. That's okay. You've got to be okay with whatever God does. You've got to worship him if he heals you, if he kills you. Either one. Is that right? That's an attitude you got to have. Lord, I'll praise you. I'll bless you. If you're going to leave me right here on my sick bed, or I'll praise you and I'll bless you if you heal me. Either way, Lord. But you know what my heart's desire is. I got to be honest with you, Lord. Got to be honest with you. Boy, as Barnard said years ago, honest people don't wind up in hell. Just tell God how you feel. You come in humility. And then maybe I'm talking to somebody who maybe you lack assurance of your salvation. You say, Jim, I hear you preach. And I hear a few of the men, amen, when you're talking about going home to heaven and the confidence you have in Christ Jesus. And I don't have that confidence. I wish I did. It is a wonderful thing to have assurance. But let me word this carefully. I tell you, assurance is not salvation. It isn't salvation. But it sure is a wonderful thing to have some biblical confidence that you're saved. And if you lack assurance, if you lack confidence in your heart, you know who can give it to you? The Lord. And you come to Him the same way that this man came to Him. One of course, my favorite writers, he was a great hymn writer, John Newton. Loved to read, sweet, sweet writer. Wrote lots and lots of hymns. But there's one of his songs. Spurgeon wouldn't even put it in his songbook. And it's like 9 verses to the song. First stanza goes like this. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? And Spurgeon, I read what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said he wasn't going to put that song in his songbook. That's too much doubt. But you see, Newton was just being honest. Just being honest. If you tell me that you walk around 100% confident all the time of your salvation in Christ Jesus, well, I just have to say you're a better person than I am. Let's just put it that way. See, I think all of God's people, we look to Christ Jesus for everything. But there are times when all of us take our eyes off of Him. And that's not right. I'm not saying a lack of assurance is a good thing. I'm not saying a lack of confidence in Christ Jesus is a proper thing for you, because it's a lack of faith. And a lack of faith, you know what that is? That's sin. It's not believing God's word. But listen, we're sinful people. And we don't always do what we're supposed to do. We don't always live like we're supposed to live. And we don't always believe like we ought to believe. And if you lack this confidence in Christ Jesus, there is only one who can give it to you. That's the Lord of glory. And you come to Him just like a lost person comes to Him. Like a believer who's afflicted over something, troubled over something, just like they'd come. Like a sick person would come. You come to Him. Lord, I need you to help me. Lord, I ain't got much confidence. And it isn't, I think in this issue of assurance, it isn't that we doubt Him so much as it, the problem is right here. We know. Problems in our own hearts. So this man goes to the Lord Jesus. So what? Let me just move on here. And you know, when our Lord performed these miracles, there are hundreds and hundreds of miracles that He performed, maybe thousands of them, no doubt thousands of them, that are not recorded in the Word of God. But while He was on this earth, He healed many, many, many people, and they were without question supernatural works. They proved Him to be who He said He was. In fact, He would even say to the Jews, He said, believe me, If not because of what I say, believe me for my work's sake. That's what he said. Believe me for my work's sake. In fact, he even said that to his apostles in John chapter 14. He said it to the Jews as a whole, and then he said it to his own apostles. He had said it back in John chapter 10 to those people who were ready to stone him when he said, I and my Father are one. And he said, believe me for my work's sake. They were undeniable. Works of power, works of authority, works of mercy. And they all proved him to be the Messiah. That's the significance, that's one of the significant things about all of his miracles. They proved him to be who he said he was. In fact, let me give you a couple of passages. Look in Isaiah chapter 35. Look in Isaiah chapter 35. And here's a prophecy of our Savior's entrance into this world and what he would do. Isaiah chapter 35, look at verse 3. He says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. That's what I'm trying to do. We're trying to strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees, those who are needy. And say to them that are of a fearful heart, do you have a fearful heart? Say to them, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. He's coming in vengeance against our sins. This is speaking of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who would deal with our guilt, our transgressions, our iniquities in a way of vengeance. God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. He got vengeance at the cross when our Savior died in our stead. He will come. That's what all the prophets said. He will come. Well, we've been waiting. People have been waiting for hundreds of years. And Isaiah says, well, he will come. I don't know exactly when it's going to be, but he will come. And he did come. And you know what he did when he came? He saved. That's what it says. He will come and save you. And he did. That's why his name is Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And then, verse 5, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Our Lord is going to perform all these miracles when he came. And then look at Isaiah 42. Look at Isaiah 42. And this is a prophecy concerning our Savior. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. And he's speaking to his son. And will hold thine hand and keep thee. And will give thee for a covenant of the people. For a light of the Gentiles to open blind eyes. To bring out the prisoners from the prison. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And then our Lord came. He came into this world. And he performed all these miracles, doing exactly what the Old Testament prophets had said that he would do. He did them physically, and he did them spiritually. He performed the physical healings, which were all typical of the spiritual healings. In fact, and I won't ask you to turn to this, but in Matthew 11, when John the Baptist sent those messengers to our Lord Jesus, said, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another?" And he sent word back with him. He said, "You tell John the blind receive their sight, The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So they prove that he's the Messiah. How do you know he's the Messiah? Look at all the things that he did. He's fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy. And I'll tell you something else. These miracles were designed to be pictures of God's saving grace, and they were intended to teach us spiritual lessons. Our Lord's physical miracles were representative of his spiritual miracles. The healing of bodies was symbolic of the healing of souls. You know, miracles in the New Testament, they're sometimes called signs. As in Acts chapter 2, Peter said that he was approved of God by many signs. Word signs mean they were tokens of his divine mission. We could even say that his miracles were sort of like parables. You know what a parable was? A parable was an earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning. Well, that's what those healings were. They were earthly healings that had a spiritual and heavenly meaning. So when he fed 5,000 with two fishes and five barley loaves, you know what the lesson for us is? You find spiritual nourishment in Christ Jesus. He spiritually feeds those who are spiritually malnourished. He gave sight to the blind. Well, he must illuminate darkened minds. He healed all manner of diseases. He restores us who are spiritually sick. He stilled the tempest waves. He speaks peace to the troubled heart. He raised the dead. He's the life giver. Well, the Son quickeneth whom he will. He healed the crippled. He gives us spiritual ability to follow him. And here in our text, he healed a leper. A leper. This man had no hope. He's in a bad way. Everybody leaves him alone. He can't go to church. He can't go to a worship service. He can't go talk to anybody about the things of God. Anybody who comes near him, he's got to say, you got to get away from me. This is a lonely life. You're talking about a miserable man. He's a miserable man. And I just wonder, as he's at the bottom of the mountain, there's Jesus of Nazareth up there on top of the mountain preaching so that thousands of people can hear him. I bet this man could hear him. He could hear how powerful a preacher he was. And the word of God was working in his heart by the authority and by the enablement of the Spirit of God. And he's troubled. He's troubled about his own leprosy. And he wants to approach this one whom he's heard preach a tremendous message. And as Jesus of Nazareth walked down that mountain, somebody's waiting for him. And he's full of needs. And he's got nothing to recommend him to the Savior. Our Lord had finished that blistering sermon. He told them, he said, you've been interpreting the law this way. Well, I hadn't committed adultery. I hadn't done this. I hadn't done that. He said, let me give you a true understanding of the law. And it shocked them. And this man's been listening. Power in his words. Power in his sermon. And he comes down and this man says, this is the one I need to talk to right here. This is the very Savior I need. And he went to the Savior. What do we know about this man? I'll give it to you real quick. He had a knowledge of his need. He had a knowledge of, he knew he's a needy man. And whatever your need is, and you know, preachers, we shoot with a shotgun. We're not firing bullets, we're firing shotgun shells because it's got to spread out and hit everybody. I have no idea of your neediness, but I know you're needy. All of you are needy, but in different ways. Now, we all have spiritual needs, no question about that. But there's other specific needs that maybe I don't know about or nobody else knows about between you and God. But it may be that you need this very message to hit you, to meet you where you live. And this man, he had a knowledge of his need. Do you know you're needy? Do you know you're needy? You know, in the Bible, leprosy was considered by the Jews to be a judgment of God. If you had leprosy, you were under the judgment of God. That's the reason nobody tried to cure it. When Miriam spoke up against Moses, you know what God smote her with? Leprosy. Leprosy. Gehazi, who was the servant of Elisha, God smote him with leprosy. King Uzziah, God smote him with leprosy. That's why people said, like this man, he's under the judgment of God. He's under the judgment of God. Let me tell you something. Our sinfulness has put us in line for the judgment of God. Our own sin. And there's only one who can help us, and that's the Savior. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. This man had a knowledge of his illness, of his disease. And also he had a knowledge of the greatness of Christ Jesus. Luke says, seeing Jesus, he fell on his face. He didn't come running up to him and hugged him. He didn't meet him eyeball to eyeball. He hit the ground. That's what, you want to come to the Lord, that's how you come to him. On your face. Down from your pride. Come down from your pride. Come down from your self-sufficiency. Come down from your self-righteousness. How far down? All the way down. Make dust your headquarters at the feet of Christ Jesus. Tell you what, if you ever see who he is and what you are, you'll come down. Problem with most people, they have low thoughts of Christ. And they have high thoughts of themselves. That's the reason you're going to go empty-handed. Unless God does something, unless God works in the heart and shows you he's everything and you're nobody. And that's all of us. That's the greatest person in this world. That's everybody in this. We're a bunch of nobodies and he is the only somebody. Christ is. He's only wanting to help us. And this man believed, then thirdly, Christ could heal him. He believed him. I tell you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He believed Christ Jesus could heal him. Now, he came to Christ, though there were many obstacles to keep him away. He had no promise of a cure. He had no example to follow. He had no invitation to come. He had no legal right to come. What would you have done? It wasn't like the Savior came down the mountain, looked at him and said, you want to talk to me? You want to come to me? There was nothing indicated in the Scripture that our Lord Jesus would even give him the time of day, if I could put it that way. He believed Christ could heal. He believed Christ could meet his need. Do you believe? He believed. And he knew that this healing was totally up to Christ. It was out of his hands. You know what this is saying? This man is acknowledging salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord showed him mercy. He showed him mercy. And then the Lord said, now go and show yourself to the priest. This was under the law. Well, what would the priest do? He would inspect him. He would examine him. He's got to be clean before he's permitted to be counted among the people of God. And I'll tell you what, when God shows us mercy, the law of God, you can be sure, will examine us. Is he made whole? Does he have any leprosy left? I promise you, the justice of God's going to look you over. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you've been washed in his sin-atoning blood, the law of God's going to say, yep, he's clean. He's admitted back into the society of God's people. He's clean. This is a right way to come to the Lord. There's a right way and a wrong way. And I tell you, I'm going to come to him like this man came to him. In humility, in lowliness, acknowledging his lordship, and saying, Lord, if you will, you can answer my prayer. You can do for me what I need. And I'll just lie here at your feet like a humble beggar who deserves nothing. But Lord, I'm asking for life. I'm asking for mercy. I'm asking for grace. And I'm asking for my needs to be met. And if you need assurance, Lord, grant me assurance. Lord, my faith is weak. Would you strengthen my faith? Lord, I'm sick. Would you be pleased to just give me a little relief, if you would. If you don't give me any relief, at least give me some encouragement in my heart that this is all of you. Because you see, the same one who sends the leprosy is the only one who can take it away. The one who sends the sickness, who sends the disease, he's the only one who can take it away. So may we come to the Lord in our neediness and be blessed out of his fullness.